and welcome to Dak and Rick's Pod. I'm Dak.
And I'm Rick.
And this is the Father Son Podcast where we talk about all things sports. And today we are back as now a little bit different this week. It's a middle of the week episode. It's a Wednesday. Hopefully this comes out on the same day. And yeah, we missed out on the weekend because, you know, life gets in the way. And it is what it is. But the world of sports does not stop. And we don't either. So let's get right into it as the Miami Dolphins have started training camp. The Mike McDaniels era is finally here. What do you have to say about that? Excitement buzzing all around?
It's very exciting. It's very good to have a new coach, to have new players. You know, we're very excited about it. Next week, I think it's next week, we're going to be attending some of the training camps.
Yes, we'll be there for the public training camps.
Right. So at that point, I'll really be able to see firsthand how good McDaniels is, how good Tua is, how good the new wide receiver
Tyreek Hill.
I mean,
he's talking a lot of smack. What do you have to say about that?
He's talking a lot of smack. Yeah. Nowadays in sports, it's very normal. It's very regular. And I'm excited because you know what? He's talking smack, but he's talking smack in a positive way about his quarterback, about someone he's going to be working with, about someone who's going to be, you know, producing touchdowns with. So, I mean, it's very exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah, he's definitely hyping up Tua, but, you know, if it works out, if that's what Tua needs, that confidence,
right.
And Tyreek Hill's here to give it to him.
And he's giving it to him, and Tua better take advantage of it, and Tua better produce. I keep saying, Tua, you got to produce this season.
And, yeah, I don't know what else to say about Tua other than I think it's time. We'll see. Today's day one. It'll continue moving on every day. We'll slowly start chugging as we reach, finally, the return of NFL football. But now, let's transition to the other quick topic we want to talk about today. This is going to be like the basis of the entire podcast as it came as such a shock last Friday, I think, when WWE founder and CEO Vince McMahon retired. And at the age of 77, he's finally hanging it up. Whether some people believe it was forced, whether it was planned, yada, yada, yada. We won't get into the nitty-gritty details and about the Vince McMahon, the real guy. But let's focus on the guy who's Mr. McMahon, the scary guy who you'd watch on your television on Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, and would come on and you'd say, boo, what is he doing trying to defeat John Cena or The Rock? And let's talk about that guy and how he transformed the world of entertainment. Because without Mr. McMahon, a lot of entertainment doesn't happen.
Yeah, you got to give him a lot of credit. I mean, this guy was the one who bought World Wrestling, I think it was
Federation.
World Wrestling Federation from his father. And he really made this into a multi-million or multi-billion dollar business.
He transformed what it meant to be a wrestler.
He really did. And for better or for worse, you know, some people, listen, when you're this big, you're going to have some people that like you, some people that don't like you. I'm sure he could have done things better. Listen, there's a lot of allegations, which, as you said, we're not going to talk about. You know, that's very unfortunate. That's very a very negative thing that he's going to have on his legacy, on his name. But that's his problem. Let's go back to him as a CEO of WWE.
No, and as Mr. McMahon, the character. Right. That has nothing to do with the real world. Right. WWE always says it. The characters do not reflect the real-life personalities, and the real-life personalities don't reflect their characters. So let's just talk about Mr. McMahon.
He was a character, no question about it. He was a character. He brought a lot of a lot of excitement to WWE. I mean, and what, you know, let's talk about, I don't know if you can really distinguish it totally, but let's talk about what he did for WWE. I mean, bringing in the wrestlers that he brought in, bringing in the storylines, being creative director,
WrestleMania.
He was it. I mean,
without WrestleMania, there's no major.
I mean,
you know,
think about WrestleMania.
Event.
You and I attended a few WrestleManias. I mean, they were unbelievable. What a production. Going into a football arena and seeing 80, 70, 90,000
people. Even 100,000
people. You know, in a small ring, people sitting all the way at the top. You can barely see the ring, and yet they're there. They're there supporting because
they want to be in the atmosphere.
There's a lot of excitement. A lot of excitement, a lot of fun. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit. You got to give McMahon a lot of credit for having created it, for having done it, for having risked a lot to do it.
Yeah, no one said that this was going to be the new form of entertainment people would love. And right. It carried the 90s and has created generational stars. Think about that, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, John Cena. These are household names outside of wrestling. Triple H, The Undertaker. These are guys who are now, who have transcended what it means to be a wrestler. And, you know, guys like Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, The Miz are all going to start doing that now for this generation. And it's just really impressive that you can take these guys who did something so simple like fighting and turn them into movie stars, turn them into icons. Dwayne The Rock Johnson might run for president. Who knows?
You never know. You never know. We've had other presidents that, well, anyways.
We'll move on to the future.
We'll move on to the future. I think WWE, who's taking over now? It's a co-chairman. So now
it's going to be co-CEOs, right? Stephanie McMahon.
Which is daughter.
The daughter of Mr. McMahon. And Nick Khan, don't know really his relationship. He's a longtime WWE employee, not related to the Khan family who owns All Elite Wrestling. And then, of course, Triple H or Paul Levesque, his son-in-law, has now joined back. He left the company for health reasons, or took a leave of absence, I guess, from the company for health reasons. But now he's back to be head of creative. And we know his NXT days, he did an amazing job. So I can only imagine what he's going to do with all this talent.
Right. I mean, and he was also a wrestler. He was also a...
He understands
the U.S. Olympics. Wasn't he in the U.S. Olympics?
No, that's Kurt Angle.
Oh, that's Kurt. Okay, miss.
No. Triple H isn't that cool.
Sorry about
that cool.
Guy. Sorry about that. Anyways, but he was a wrestler, so he knows the insides. He's been involved for many years. So I think, Dak, that between McMahon and the daughter, the son-in-law, and this, the
and
Khan,
you know, Mr. McMahon will be around somewhere.
I'm sure he'll be giving someone advice behind the scenes. But anyways, I think WWE will continue to thrive, will continue to grow. I mean, it's on the stock exchange, for God's sakes. I mean, this guy put it on the stock exchange. WWE, you can buy stock in it. So that's how big they are. Anyways, having said that, I think they're going to continue to prosper and do well.
Yeah, more than likely, WWE can weather this storm as they've weathered many other storms throughout the years. And at the end of the day, it's a new dawn in WWE. And I think with that new dawn, we will head to our first break. And we're back to talk Formula One. And this past weekend, we had the wonderful race of the French Grand Prix. And I don't know, do you want to jump right into it?
Well, it was very interesting. It was in the Paul Ricard circuit.
Circuit
Paul Ricard.
And just some interesting facts about the French Grand Prix. It's been running since the first season. In the 1906 race, it was the first time they ever used the words Grand Prix, which means grand prize in French. And the trophy, I don't know, I just found this funny, is a giant gorilla for the winner. So that's just a nice little cute thing. Giving you guys a little preview on what this race meant to some people. It was the home race for manufacturer Alpine, as well as drivers Esteban Ocon, who he drives for Alpine, and Pierre Gasly as well. Do you want to talk about Sir Lewis Hamilton?
Well, yeah, Sir Lewis Hamilton became the first driver to drive 300 races with the same engine. That's
Mercedes engine. Right.
Hamilton also becomes the sixth racer to join the 300 race club, which basically means that he has started 300 plus races. I mean, that's
so congratulations to Sir Lewis Hamilton. And quickly, another guy who has now become the top of a list, that is Max Verstappen, Red Bull racer, surprisingly, now becomes the number one all time in races started for Red Bull at 130 races. So congratulations to him as well. Let's insert this new clapping effect that I got. Thank you. I had to show off the new technology. And now, well, there's no need for too much preview because we have the race. It happened. It was a pretty fun one. Charles Leclerc took pole this weekend, and he didn't even finish the race as he just kind of crashed.
So who was the number one?
So here are the final race standings. Your points go from 1 to 10, 1 getting 25 points, 10 getting 1 point, and then the points, you know, vary as we go through, but I'll tell you guys that now. So our podium was number one, Red Bull, Max Verstappen, 25 points added to the Drivers' Championship and Constructors' Championship. Number two was Mercedes driver Lewis Hamilton with 19 points. Number three, Mercedes, George Russell, 15 points. You want to say the bottom four?
No, I just wanted to add, it's very interesting. Haven't they come in second and third in the prior races?
This is actually the first time that this season that Mercedes has had a 2-3 finish. So that is very good for them. We'll get into that when we talk about the full race. Then coming in fourth, Red Bull's Sergio Perez gained 12 points. Ferrari's and number five, Ferrari's Carlos Sainz comes in and gains 10 points, which is very, very impressive. He started in P19 for him to be able to recover that way. Incredible for Carlos. In sixth, Alpine's Fernando Alonso gains 8 points. In seventh, McLaren's Lando Norris gains 6. In eighth, Alpine's Esteban Ocon. Woo, the home Frenchman. Woo. Clap.
There you go.
He gained 4 points. In ninth, McLaren's Daniel Ricciardo gains 2. And surprisingly, Aston Martin, they finally show up to the party with Lance Stroll gaining the lone 1 point on the weekend. And then everyone else,
From this point forward, they don't get any points, right?
They don't get any points. So it was Sebastian Vettel, Pierre Gasly, Alex Albon, Lance Stroll. Oh, no, I messed up. I guess I missed out a racer. Mick Schumacher, Zhou Guanyu to round off 1 through 16 I guess I missed someone. Then did not finish the race. Yuki Tsunoda, Kevin Magnussen, Nicholas Latifi, and of course Charles Leclerc. So talking about all the main storylines, Max Verstappen just continues to dominate, huh? He's now number one in the Drivers' Championship by, I think, 60-something points. Yeah, Charles Leclerc is not making it any harder on him. The guy's just driving, and he was in second the entire weekend, but Leclerc just disappeared from this race. He just kind of, one moment to the next, crashed into a wall. So what do you have to say about all that?
Well, you know, listen, it's a sport. It's a very volatile sport also. It's a very dangerous sport. I mean, listen, things happen. I doubt that he didn't want to finish this race. So,
well, of course, but, you know, no one really knows if it's Charles Leclerc's fault, if it is the fault of the manufacturer, Ferrari. No one really knows where that falls, and I guess we never will.
The problem is that Ferrari is a great car. It's a fast car, but it has a lot of problems. A lot of problems with being consistent, I think. A lot of problems with the mechanics. Listen, I don't know. This is what I hear. This is what I learn.
But look, let's not trash talk too much Ferrari because we have a lot of Ferrari fans.
No,
listening.
I like Ferrari.
Let's talk about Carlos Sainz and his recovery.
Say the word Ferrari is like amazing in the car industry. So, I mean, in the racing industry, it's unbelievable.
So now let's talk about Carlos Sainz and his amazing recovery. Starting in P19, he had to take a new power engine. You're allowed a certain amount of changes to your car a year. And he took advantage of that and fell all the way down to P19. But now was able to climb up to P5 and gain a nice 10 points for the team as Mercedes is closing that gap between them as Mercedes gained 19 and 15 points respectively. That's a lot more than Ferrari can say this weekend. Right. What do you have to say?
And Mercedes has shown that, you know, they may not be the fastest, but they're the...
Yeah, they're struggling this year. Even though they're 8-time Constructors champions in a row, they're struggling this year. And I don't think they're going to win the Constructors this year. With 12 races gone, I think it's 22 total. We're already past the halfway point. And they're still in third place, pretty convincingly. So right, they can maybe climb back up to second. If Ferrari continues this way, I'll pull up the stats. Continue with what you were saying.
Just the bottom line is that Mercedes is more of a consistent vehicle.
So. Yeah. So right now, the team standing stands. Red Bull Racing, 396 points. Ferrari, 314. And Mercedes is climbing slowly but steadily at 270. And then, you know, Alpine, McLaren, Alfa Romeo. All of them are way too far out of reach of those top three. But, you know, it seems like there's only about, I think, a 40-point gap between Ferrari and Mercedes. And if Mercedes is able to pull some race wins together, who knows? That gap could be blown wide open. And although no racer has won a race after his 300th start, if there's any guy to do it, it's going to be Sir Lewis Hamilton.
Right.
So definitely a very interesting season ahead. I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to add on this?
When do they race again?
Well, I was about to get into that. We're headed to Hungary for the last race before the Formula One season takes its summer break. So we'll see you next weekend in Hungary. Well, we won't be in Hungary, but
we'll see them on TV.
We'll see you metaphorically in Hungary next weekend. But anything else you want to add before
it's just,
that?
It's, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to these drivers. I mean, and to the whole
F1. You know what we should talk about? The fact that Lewis Hamilton didn't have his drink system working that day. Can you believe that in that heat?
That was wild. How did he survive that? How did he not get dehydrated?
As you would say, a true professional.
Well, he has to be. I mean, we saw him in the, what do you call that? The that room.
In the cool-down room.
The cool-down room.
Yeah, he was just laying on the ground.
He was on the ground. I mean, you can't blame him. But, you know, it's...
Turned into a really funny picture.
But it's amazing that he wasn't able to have anything to drink. I mean, that's wild. Wild. Wild and scary.
Yeah. Thankfully, he didn't have any issues because he could have gotten dehydrated and just, I mean, you know.
You're in that car for how long? For over 2 hours,
For about right? 2 hours, yeah. So.
And you're in that car, not leisurely, you're in that car, you know,
driving.
driving
200 miles an hour and trying to make sure you're not dying.
And speeding and competing, and I mean, it's crazy.
No, definitely is wild.
And you know, what these drivers do in the whole system, I mean, you know, watching, now they go to Hungary, then from Hungary, they might...
Well, now they get a month off.
Oh, they get a month off, but then they start again, and it's like one race after another, cars... You know, before they leave the F1 track, they're already breaking it down. Other cars are already going to the next location. I mean, it's what an operation. What an operation. Very, very interesting.
Well, with all that being said, we'll see you guys next week. Hungary, the final race before the summer break. And then, you know, we have football to start focusing on. So this is going to be a very, very exciting transition. This next week is going to be a very fun podcast. Or not even next week, the next couple of days. Maybe we should start doing this. Maybe like a middle week podcast, a weekend podcast. I don't know. Let us know what you guys think. With all that being said, I'm going to take us home. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Dak and Rick's Pod. If you enjoy, be sure to rate it 5 stars. Follow us on Instagram at Dak and Rick's Pod. Follow me personally at Dak25 underscore. Rate us 5 stars. I think I already said that. I don't know. All that fun stuff. And yeah, engagement, engagement, engagement. Anything you want to say to the viewers? Close us off? No?
See you next week.
And we will see you guys, not even next week. We'll see
in
you guys
the weekend.
Sometime this weekend. Who knows when it'll come out. Be sure to tune in to all social channels. Turn on notifications. I don't know how this all works. But, you know, enjoy. And we will see you guys with a Dolphins update and an update from the Formula One Hungarian Grand Prix. See you guys then.